Blog Talk Radio.
Headquarters in Stone Mountain, Georgia. And topic for today, as always, is changing the face of contracting. And we want to start off today with the most interesting part about why some of us continue to come in and log into the chat room and to listen to the information that is very prevalent today for our industry. What I'd like to do is introduce one of a few topics. One of those is one from the UBC regarding some bad publicity that Fox News shared with the world regarding a union individual who went non-union. It was over the Shepherd Center, and those individuals, that was the contractor that was in question, that there was a protest over, had been indicted on federal counts of tax fraud, and so they were trying to make that effort known to the public. Wanted to state that today. That was some interesting news that we were able to look up at on the ABC website, and they publicly put that out there, but they're not talking about the conditions and why that situation happened. The other thing is, wanted to go over a list of the 2010 state bond construction projects that are statewide and totaling hundreds of millions of dollars. One of the most interesting things is that most of the money is in the outskirts of Metro Atlanta. Interesting enough, you have most of the projects that are in Milledgeville, Greensboro, Tallapoosa, Lee County, Griffin, Sandersville, Moultrie. You have about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 7 projects that was allocated for the 2010 state bond construction projects that are not in the Metro Atlanta area. It is statewide, but nothing in Metro Atlanta. The largest project that's out is in the at the Ports Authority. It's a state match Savannah Harbor expansion in Savannah, which is about $36 million. And then you have a statewide local water sewer construction project that's $37 million through the Georgia Environment and Facilities Authority. And then you have, and let me just kind of go down the list. You have a couple agricultural projects, and those are repair and renovate State Farm Farmers Market, which is a $1.2 million. The agriculture replace Oakwood Diagnostics Laboratory, it's a $13 million facility. And there's another agricultural project, which is to construct agricultural testing laboratories, which is $24 million. And then there is a Forestry Commission building that's $2.9 million. And then DNR has about three projects totaling a possible $21 million. It's repairs and constructions and renovate state park systems, expand the McGill building in the Georgia National Foregrounds in the Agriculture Center in Perry, Georgia. Then you have a rehab USD flood control structures in Georgia Safe Dams Act. They allocated $3 million for that. And then the Department of Corrections statewide has about a $20 million budget and on one thing on repairs and other projects. And then they have another $13 million for the headquarters and training facility. That is going to be in Forsyth County. The it's a $1.3 million convert the prison to a mental prison. It's in Milledgeville, which is $1.3 million. And then there's an upgrade for fire and electrical and fire systems at GBI, $300,000. And then the juvenile justice, which is statewide in Conyers, was allocated about $15 million, $11 million to go to the facility maintenance repairs, and the other $4.9 million to the New Rockdale County Regional Youth Detention Facility in Conyers and complete the Clayton Facility 20-bed addition in Jonesboro. So they're going to stretch that $4.9 million out to both counties. And then, as mentioned earlier, there's a local water sewer construction statewide. There's a state match federal water sewer loan program, but keep in mind this is $3.5 million. And what happens is that when the state matches funds, they try to hide the fact that there's federal funds on the project, eliminating the minority participation or actually submitting that as if there's no participation levels that was supposed to have been on the project. So that's one of the things we want to discuss on how the state of Georgia and all the other southern states hide federal dollars, but this is one of the times that they won't be able to do so. The Ports Authority, they have a state match Savannah Harbor expansion, like I said earlier, was $36 million. That's in Savannah. And then Georgia DOT has $100 million for fund road projects statewide, and then they have approximately $3.7 million statewide match for express park and ride lots through Georgia DOT, so we know that's going to be a MARTA project. Rehab rail line in Nansu and Vidalia and railroad crossings in Vidalia, Georgia, which is $3.5 million. A $2 million rehab rail line from Leary and Coosa. These are all Georgia DOT projects. The rail systems is a part of DOT, ladies and gentlemen, so please keep in mind that there's a whole group of work that a lot of us do not know about. These projects are going to be in St. Augustine Road, rail switching expansion, which is $1 million, and then the rehab of trail for rail bridges, which is $1.2 million. And then you got an expansion. You have a roof replace for Thomas Murphy Sidney Marcus Auditorium in Atlanta. Those two bridges were in Wilcox and Montgomery County. There's an economic development department. There's a construct the Georgia International Maritime Trace Center, $4 million. and the passenger in a dock, that's in Savannah. So that's a part of that Savannah money. They have it scattered in the sense. Then there's a Hurdy Foundation design and construct covered biofuels testing facilities, and that's $250,000, which I'm sure what you can't do with that. Then there's an education budget for local school construction statewide, which is $284 million for education. So that is all, that's the local school construction. The Georgia Building Authority has approximately about $8 million and to renovate the judicial building down in Atlanta. And then there's a renovation for the Georgia Building Authority, $6.3 million at renovations at 2 Peachtree and 90 Central and Avenue in Atlanta, Georgia. DHR, ladies and gentlemen, DHR has about $20 million in replacing natural gas line at the Central Hospital, which is in Milledgeville, $2.4 million, $3.5 million replace electrical distribution handling center at Southwest State Hospital in Thomasville. And I was told by some of our members it's been very, very, very hard to bid projects in the middle Georgia area, so you'll see how difficult it will be that these projects are made available. And they're probably out for pre-qualifications, ladies. So please keep in mind and replay the show if we're going too fast. But, again, the show is only taking up a news portion today in terms of just putting the information out to you. They're going to replace they got three projects for DHR, one in Augusta, the cab in Rome, Georgia, $850,000 in Augusta, which is replaced perimeter fence at Atlanta Regional Hospital. That's a big fence. $400,000 for repair mechanical system at Southwest Georgia Regional Hospital in Rome, and design construction of an equip school expansion. Now, they failed to tell us where that particular project is, but I can, and it's $260,000. Now, Veterans Services has a couple projects. It's state match funds for electrical improvements and interior buildings in Woodbridge, Milledgeville, Georgia, Milledgeville, Georgia, for the second one as well, which is total of $800,000. Now, the Board of Regents, now that is a tremendous budget, and I can tell you this much. It starts with the UGA with a design and construct new equipment utility central plant in Athens. You got $13 million College of Coastal Georgia, new health science building, the renovation of Huntington, Ohio halls in Fort Valley. Again, as I told you before, the budget is in the outskirts of Metro Atlanta, so none of this is hitting in the circumference of the Metro Atlanta. This is on the outskirts of Metro Atlanta. So you have $43 million for Georgia Tech undergraduate learning commons, which is in Atlanta. Everything else is in Milledgeville, Macon, Dahlonega, Athens, Savannah. You can also go on the website and look at the Board of Regents budget. But their budget probably exceeds right at $300 million in Board of Regents. There are two schools that's in Atlanta, which is $9.6 million, Georgia State Outdoor Student Recreation Facility to Atlanta, $8 million for Georgia State Parker Petit Science Center. Again, you can go on that. All these are in Augusta. You got Rockmart, which is a Rockmart Library renovation. Oh, God, DeKalb has a central library, guys, at $2 million. Okay? And so you got something going on in DeKalb. So the rest of this is in St. Mary's, Athens, Madison, Thomasville, Forest Park, Lee County, which is down in South Georgia, Greensboro, Dade County Library Construction Expansion. Now, the technical college budget, which is always a very interesting system to work in, we had some experience working with their disgruntled folks that work there. But the technical college has a $20 million technical multiple project repairs and renovations statewide. That's $20 million. the Central Georgia Tech College Construct Center Health Science Building is in Milledgeville, Georgia. Griffin is constructing a $19 million medical technical building, building in Griffin. Moultrie, Georgia is putting up a $9.5 million facility for Allied Health. And as I tell you the name of these projects, let me tell you, they are taking these projects specifically for the fact that the stimulus package is talking about, you see libraries, you see the health centers, you see things that is in the technical aspect, but and there's libraries and renovations of libraries, because during in the past administration, libraries were not important to out there in the outreaches. So you got another $10 million to construct health science businesses in Sandersville Technical College. I don't know who's going to build down in Sandersville. I didn't think they had contractors down this way. And then you got another $14 million on new classrooms, building and truck driving in Altamont Technical College. Then you got a design and construct in Griffin, Georgia, Technical College, $475,000. Then you got an $8.4 million construct classroom and truck driving range in West Central Tech. So we know that's at West Central Georgia. And there's a new campus in Catoosa County for Northwestern Tech College, which is $3 million. And then there's a $6 million North Georgia Technical College at Hoti Cole classroom renovation. And then, of course, there's Ogeechee Technical College, an additional health and science building, which is $6 million. I wanted you all to really understand that the projects that are out here are, needless to say, in the outskirts of the Metro Atlanta area for the 2010 budget. There is nothing with the state that mandates that these projects, even though they are using and filtering federal funds through the stimulus package, because none of these folks had money initially until the stimulus package hit. So this is one of the things that we want to also discuss in the future shows that's coming up for the summer months. And again, I wanted to change courses and give everybody an idea of the DOT $100 million road project and then the various projects that DOT has. And please examine the Savannah area most certainly as quick as possible. We want to also share with you that there's some additional news regarding some of the things that the coalition is doing. We typically are trying to utilize another aspect, and we're going to do we have a group of women who may have capacity in working with our UBC brothers, but we're going to host a delegate of classes so that they'll be able to work accordingly with the organization. One of the classes that's going to take place is group dynamics that are going to be coming up, and it's going to be hosted by our CEU department. And we've established a CEU, or a CE, continuing education, with the assistance of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters as well. And this training is going to be something that is mandated before any contracts of any sort are available for any of the members who want to obtain contracts, because the one thing we want to do is to make sure that we're very knowledgeable about the overall projects that we're doing and what we're going to be doing with the UBC and other subcontractors related to UBC. So for just a moment, I'm going to play one little song I like. Everybody sit back for a moment and I play close. Thank you. to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We want to thank our few callers that are online, but again, we want to make sure that we're very cognizant of what we're doing and the matter of the fact that what this show is starting to be critiqued toward information for its listeners and its member partners. One of the things we wanted to also share with you is that we receive construction claims monthly, which is dedicated exclusively to solving the problems of the construction industry. And one of the topics on this was a minute late is too late when filing public bidding challenges by Martin L. Barrasco and David Tamaro. This is a New Jersey appellate division filed a recent filing against Kalanis versus Township of Franklin, which reaffirms the applicability of certain filing deadlines to public bidding challenges. In other words, timing is everything in the realm of the government contractors. Contractors who regularly bid on public contracts must remain cognizant of the multitude of deadlines that govern the bidding process, as well as the various kinds of protests that can be made with respect to the award of the government contract. One of the most critical dates, of course, is the date of the bid response is due. As a general rule, bids submitted after specified time will not be considered, even if it's just minutes late. And I've actually been in a situation where I delivered a bid 0.0 seconds past the bid time, and it did make it, so we were not able to submit. Another vital date is the date of any challenge to the award or to the process itself that must be filed. Each contract and thus each protest is unique, but challenges generally fall into two categories. One, those concerning the specifications, and two, those concerning the award itself. Complaints of the first type usually center on whether the specification favor one bidder over another, whether the specifications are capable of performance, and whether or not the specifications are understandable and technically correct. Protest of awards usually focus on how the criteria used to make the award were applied, whether there was fraud, corruption, collusion among bidders, whether the selected bidders is able to perform, or whether the winning bid contained all necessary documents such as performance bonds, affirmative action plans, insurance documents. All protests concerning local and county level contracts, technically known as actions in lieu of prerogatory writs, and filed in the trial division of the Superior Courts. So pretty much a lot of the bids that we've been actually just sitting by and allowing to go by us is something that we can protest. So the other thing is, to continue on to the rest of the article here, there are specific subjects that the court rules on. For present purposes, the most important such rules concern the date by which the challenge is due and whether such date can be extended. In almost every instance, challenges filed beyond the specified date will be rejected, as the New Jersey Appellate Division just reaffirmed. And there's a part that says, no time to waste. Challenge is due in 45 days. With regard to the first issue of when a challenge is due, the court rules plainly state that protests involving local and county awards must not be commenced later than 45 days after the occur of the right to review. When the right to review occurs has been the subject of most litigations, however, the general rule, the right of review accrues on the date of the actionable conduct occurs. So basically, the day that you challenge this, that you must be able to have a right to, you have a right to protest. And then one notable, let's give an example, for instance, and it gives us an example here. A challenge to an award itself must be filed in the trial court within 45 days of the date of the award is issued. In order to make sure that all rights are fully preserved, the date on which the challenger is aware of the award should be used rather than the date on which the award was officially made. So that's one of the things. And ladies, I wanted to also share with you that you can receive copies of construction claims monthly through accessing it, request through the coalition's CEU or continuing education department. And we got about 2 minutes left into the show. I'm hoping that everybody that is tuning in is going back and taking notes about the projects, about how to proceed with construction claims, and how to proceed on projects itself. In the upcoming months, we are going to be building relationships on levels that make sense to the new administration and the new system in which we have in place. And I certainly hope that everybody at the sound of my voice and listening to this will go back and look at some of our past shows, and we are really going to continue to provide the bulk, the meat and potatoes of what we are trying to preserve. Our show, this is our 917th show. We're going to do something special on the 1,000th show. We've had about 1,241 profiles, and so far we have 101 listeners. And that's going to change because our marketing efforts are going to change within that realm. But we do want to make sure that everyone knows that, that we are still here and that we're going to be moving forward, and we have continued to move forward with some of our programs, and we're going to be awarding huge contracts with our members who are capable and have met sustainable capacity in their firms. People think that Rome was built in one day. The coalition's existence really did not even come into effect until effectively until last year. So I want to thank everybody, and we're going to close out with Destiny Muhammad's song. Thanks.
Ancient calling and the voice of all good tidings. I am the sound of angels' laughter across the moonlight bay. I am all you'll ever need. I am all you'll ever need. I am the wisdom of all elders. I'm the wonder in a child's eyes. I am a cool and gentle breeze on a warm summer's day. My face, I'm all you will ever need.